from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Now, if you wondered why I was trying to say the GoodAtheist.net in a little bit of a different voice, it's because a couple of days ago, I had a fan who sent me a question saying, why do you keep mentioning these articles that you're writing? What's that all about? And
at that point, you start to realize that maybe you haven't been promoting the website enough on your podcast.
I suddenly got to thinking about Galactus, actually. And I'll tell you why.
Galactus.
The world eater of the Marvel Universe is a comic book villain. And there's this one, back in the 1970s when they had, you know, cool writers who did interesting things. Well, the Fantastic Four and Silver Surfer are trying to defeat him. And there he has a weapon called the Ultimate Nullifier that's supposed to be able to defeat him. And they're looking for it. But the whole thing about that the Ultimate Nullifier is it's in plain sight. It's in, but it's hidden in plain sight. That's the cool thing about it.
Okay, I'm waiting for this to...
This is what the goodatheist.net, the word that I say at the beginning, has become invisible. It is hidden in plain sight.
It's become the what was it called?
Ultimate Nullifier.
That was the name of the gun?
That was the name of the gun. It was a tiny gun, too. It looked like that cricket gun in the in Men in Black Smith has. It looked exactly like that.
Well, of course they say hidden plain sight when it's something that small. Jesus, you can never find stuff. We were looking for an Allen key last night for like a fucking hour or two. We're in a new office space now.
Oh, that was just awful. Trying to find stupid Allen keys. Ah, why are they so many different sizes? Grr. They're the bane of my existence, these Allen keys. Plus, I always find every time I use them, it raws out my hand. I should just get a good Allen C.
You're just a girly boy with soft hands.
I am. I really do have soft
hands. It's like,
hands.
Oh, IKEA furniture is too tough on my hands.
Now, if you were wondering out there saying, like, why were we not listening to the podcast many days ago? There was a bit of a confession that I must make, is that on Tuesday, when we were supposed to do the show, I helped my mother move. So I was a good son that day.
You're a Saint Jacob.
I was a good son that day. But then later that night, I went out drinking with a friend, and when I say drinking, I mean just a ridiculous amount. It was like $5 pitchers, and we exaggerated, and my body paid the price for a full 2 days. Like, that's how long it took me to get over my hangover, and I'm not just talking about, oh, I had a headache, blah, blah. I'm like, ready to vomit.
It basically...
Shook me to my core.
This booze... basically took a bazooka to our weekend, and we are not happy about it. It's not one of those things that's like, oh, high five.
You got so drunk.
It was like, it was more like a, you know, we're old and we never hurt like this before, and now we're starting to realize that we ain't young no more kind of thing.
Really, there should be violin songs playing. It was a rough lesson.
Sorry about that. We are back now. In a new environment, so please feel free to comment about the sound quality.
Yeah,
tell us, too echoey, too...
Well, the whole thing, the whole setup that we had before was pretty damn crappy. When we had to move out of the old office, we moved the radio setup down in my room. So, unfortunately, we had to do radio shows with us in my room, and that's not cool.
It's quite disgusting in there, leaving your cock rings lying about.
I stand by my decision to let those things out. It's my prerogative.
Your prerogative. Yeah, just going to leave it out sitting there. People could come over and take a look at it. And you'll be like, yeah, that's right. That's who Jacob Forte is.
That's who I am.
Yeah,
I'm not going to hide that.
Okay.
I don't have drawers to hide things.
See, but that's the thing. It doesn't really work like that. In your head, you think that people see it and you imagine some magical, like, association between Jacob Forte and has this wild sex life. It's just like, oh, that's gross. There's a tiny rubber cock ring sitting on that guy's bedside.
Sitting next to my massage oil.
Yeah, it's... yeah.
It would almost seem sad. Because then they'd be like, where's your girlfriend? She lives on the internet.
Okay, well, let's put it like this, because I'm figuring you don't realize that that's a... that's gross. Right. You know how do people react when they see my pornography on the network drive?
Well, actually, that depends, because I had one girlfriend who we had an argument about it, because I think it was one of those anal ass destroyers 50.
Well, the whole funny thing, the whole thing about pornography, I have to tell you, is that nowadays it's all the same. I've seen it all. I've been there and back. No more Charles Darwin Voyage of the Barnacle for me. I've already documented all the species, so now I just download exotic sounding films. The weirder the name is, the better. And so nowadays, I don't look at the pictures of the screenshot. I download it based on how ridiculous the
names
go. All right,
but here's what I want to suggest. That your consumption of pornography reminds me of how people fight against AIDS. let me explain to you how that works.
Are you implying that I am fighting the AIDS of pornography?
No, what I'm implying is that when you're fighting the AIDS virus, the new technique that they use now is that rather than sort of like slowly give you more and more medication to fight, what they'll do is they'll give you no medication for a while, allow sort of like the virus to really sort of like reproduce itself, and then take one medication, and they'll wait again, take a different medication, and the idea is just that that's how you can keep it under control.
Is it like shocking
it's
the virus?
It's not that it's shocking it. It's just that the evolution happens over small incremental periods of time. So if during that time, like, the virus is constantly adapting to the medication that you have, it'll become resistant. Those resistant strains will just spread, and that resistance will spread too well amongst the population. There won't be enough variation for that same mutation to be non-beneficial, or even the opposite, you know, like for it to be detrimental. I mean, the AIDS virus evolves really, really fast. That's why it's so fucking hard to fight. It evolves really rapidly.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that with pornography, it's kind of the same thing, where you're getting used to it too much. I say, take a sabbatical, and then you can go back to
it. No, but I do, because that's the whole thing, is because the porn just sits there and it gathers dust. And I download, you know, once every 3 or 4 months, I'll download like 5 things one night. And that's where the new batch comes from.
Well, the batch is sometimes embarrassing for people to come by, but I like it. You know, it's kind of like it's like showing who you are. You know,
if a person... that's what I mean, is that other people find
but
it
I never,
gross.
I never asked you to not do that anymore. I just tell you. Nowadays, and like if it's now, up to
nowadays
you.
I do it for shock value, because I don't have anybody coming over that I give a fuck on that level.
I would love to see if you did change it. Then I'm like, somebody's coming over. He moved his pornography. That's significant.
Tell you what, going down visiting my parents with my laptop, I did move the pornography out of the main directory just to make sure when I was looking up Sharp's Adventure, they didn't see underneath it Shit Eaters 12 or something like that.
I think they should. I think they need to know that about their son.
Okay, so what were we talking about before we went on to pornography?
Nothing really relative. We're actually today on the show, we're going to be talking about Super Bowl ads featuring anti-abortion messages. We're also going to be talking about Anne Frank and her diary being banned at a school in Virginia. And we'll also be talking about dictionaries getting banned as well in South California. But let's move on to the meat of the podcast, which is this Super Bowl ad that's airing that is being paid for by Focus on the Family. You might recall those nut jobs. Do you remember the spokesperson of that, who was talking after, remember that abortion doctor who got shot?
Yeah.
Dr. Tiller?
Yeah, actually the guy that did that just went to jail. It was an open and shut fucking case. There wasn't any kind of, jury fuck up he did this, where one person's like, hey, we're doing the Lord's work, so congratulations for that just going through. But yes, go on.
Okay, so the spokesperson for the organization was... I don't actually know where I was going with this. Anyways, Focus on the Family.
Did he say something? Was he like, praise Jesus for this guy, abortion guy getting shot?
The whole time he was just saying like, oh, well, you know, it's the real crime here is all the babies that are being aborted. And they just like
well,
to kind
not,
of like
but that's not a
pass
crime.
The motherfucking
like, technically,
buck.
Technically.
Oh, it is
not
a crime to
crime.
Them. They're like, this is a genocide. They're always calling it a genocide. I'm like, you guys don't even know what a genocide
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's a very poorly run genocide if it is, because they're not even getting what, like, what's the percentage? Anyway.
Half of all pregnancies are terminated naturally anyway. So if it was a genocide, then God is the greatest genocidal monster of all time.
I like it. Okay, so and the commercial features. Who, what's this guy's name? This is a football guy.
Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow.
It's quarterback for Florida. I don't even know the name of the team. It's from the state of Florida. What's their football team?
The Miami Dolphins.
Nah, the other one.
Who they cares? Have two?
I don't know.
They make this hard. I thought I was
care.
Already good.
I really don't
I
care.
Don't know about the people throwing the foots to the field.
It's not the story that I'm interested in. It's not what he does for a living that is interesting.
But just in case other people are as ignorant about football as we are, is Tim Tebow like a big fucking...
He's a quarterback. The thing that you have to understand about Tim Tebow is that, at least from the very mild research that I did, not interested in whatever team that he plays for, because it's all yippity-yap and gives a shit. But really, sort of like, how do people within the sports community, what do they think about Tim Tebow? And basically, most people consider him like the second coming. All right, the football second coming, like a football god, like the next generation, young guy, just like, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, just and everybody who just waxes him off, like in all of his little 3-4 minute promos, where it's just like, oh, he lifts the same amount of weight as the linebackers, and he's in there like leading them. He's a born leader, because I guess that's the whole attraction of football. They're like, it's a leader leading his soldiers.
So he's like an NFL superstar.
Yes. He is, as like the best way that I can describe it is like every once in a while, you know, you have that sports guy that kind of pops out, like, you know, the hockey, you have Wayne Gretzky, with you even have Joe Montana. You remember all the football games? Joe Montana.
Yeah, football. I remember Joe Montana, because okay. He had the game.
Exactly. And he was the only player in the game whose name would come up.
Joe Montana has the ball. Dude, number 12.
Exactly. Nobody else mattered in Joe Montana football, because he was Joe Montana, you know? And it's kind of... some people are saying that, you know, maybe Tim Tebow's the same way, that he's like the next sports legend. And the whole story, like the real story that they want to cover in this 30-second commercial, and I mean, saying it in 30 seconds is even difficult for me, is that in 1987, his mother was having complications with her pregnancy, and the doctors told her that she needed to abort or she would probably die, and the child would probably die. I mean, she was falling into comas and shit. I mean, she was bedridden.
It was some serious stuff.
It was pretty fucking serious. But she persevered through, and the baby that popped out of her is now Tim Tebow, football god. So you can kind of guess
where the direction of the ad is going to go.
I wonder what it's going to be about. Let's see. Don't abort Tim Tebow's.
Now, the interesting thing about this is that they actually the Super Bowl, they're very careful about what kind of ads that they approve of, and they've actually turned down a bunch of ads from, I wouldn't say left-leaning, right-leaning, blah, 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 but, you know, like from other organizations that are more liberal, they've turned down their money. So the fact that they've actually taken these guys' money and are going to play an abortion or an anti-abortion commercial, that seems pretty... It's
worrisome, and it's surprising. It's like, what is happening here?
Is this abortion thing really? Is this a pendulum that's swinging back the other way?
My problem with this whole thing is that they're really trying to create a wedge here. You know, they're trying to split people down the middle, because people feel really strongly about this issue, but the deal is that pro-choice is wiser than having no options, because you cannot have no options. All right, when no legal option exists, abortions still happen. It doesn't matter what you do. And plus, if you're gonna make abortions legal, what do you do with women that want abortions? You know, like you really have to start thinking about what no abortions mean.
Without abortions.
Like, rather than the sort of like, you know, we're all one happy family,
all the problems of the world destroyed.
Because we saved all life. We saved life, Ryan.
No more baby, you know, no more baby killers. Just a lot more babies wandering around that have no brains or no face or God knows what other... Honestly, the stuff that people, you know, they go and they get abortions, it's like your baby is seriously fucked up. Like, it's gonna fall out of you and die. So sometimes you sometimes that's not a pleasant day. Sometimes you need. I was reading an essay. Sorry, it was a bit grim, but I was reading an essay about the only doctor that does late term abortion in America, and they were talking about some of the reasons these women were getting abortions, and you're just like, wow. It's not just like, you know, you imagine it's like all people getting abortions are those 18-year-old blonde chicks with their parents shamefully huddling them in.
Be like, you're going to ruin your life.
It's a whole bunch of people. It's like that 35-year-old fucking woman who will just literally die. Like, her body, her doctors are like, whoa.
Well, it's funny, It's funny, too, because the T-Bow article that I put up on the site, which I recommend you visit, goodatheist.net. There you go. Some of the people were responding in the comment section saying like, oh, well, most abortions are for convenience. So there. This should be illegal then. And, you know, the thing is,
Are they saying most abortions are happening because the people don't want the children?
Those selfish people. I'm like, well, what are you supposed to do, huh? Are you supposed to slap their fucking wrist and be like, take care of this child you don't want?
And besides me, the majority of these abortions that are happening are people who've barely gotten started. It's nothing more than a bit of egg and yolk.
It's not even that. Although apparently we do have three genes in our bodies to produce yolk. They're actually too busted for us to do anything. But early periods of our development, we have an egg yolk sac. It just kind of like grows.
I bet you there's, you know, like there was that guy who had his like, I'm a really disgusting sweaty person gene activated to the hilt. Do you think that maybe there's like some people out there who have like that I secrete yolk?
I really
gene?
Don't know. I mean, there's going to be lots of weird and unusual things, but
the beauty of evolution.
I think what you notice too is when you look at embryos, because every time you see some of those anti-abortion signs, they'll have like they look like little tiny babies that are perfectly formed. And I'm like, this is not the reality.
They
of
look
situation.
Like the cover of a really cool Radiohead album. That's what I think.
Right. Okay. But the point is, it's like you don't start like a little homunculus, fully formed and only merely growing in size. You reflect the evolutionary stages that you went through as a species. You know, that you looked like an amphibian for a while because all mammals are descended from an amphibian-like species. But then you start like looking more like. You know, the tetrapods or whatever they're called. And then you have skin, like not skin, but a coat of hair that you then shed because, well, you know, this particular type of ape doesn't really have that much hair, although sometimes you can be born with it if you don't shed it immediately.
My brother's a hairy bastard.
But the point of the matter is, like, you can see from the development of the embryo until it's a full baby, you can see the history of evolution unfold merely in the fact that, of course, you're going to look like some of the older versions of what you used to be. The little lizard, the little fish, whatever, you know, like these things, that's what they look like. That's why you can't tell the difference early on. I could show you a bunch of embryos and say, which one was a human? And you would get it wrong, man. You would get it wrong. So that's what you're sacrificing, the little bit of flesh that barely developed. And meanwhile, you're just
quite wonderful and scientifically interesting.
Oh, well, all life is really like is quite interesting. It's just to suddenly say that it stands on this pedestal where it must be coveted at all costs. I'm like, no, it's not a realistic view of life. Life is not Disney, okay? Life is not fucking Disney. It's a lot harsher than that. And trust me when I say that it's better to have a whole bunch of really shitty parents not have kids than have a whole bunch, you know, and possibly even die trying to have them. That doesn't seem fair to me.
Yeah, this is the really interesting thing about this commercial, because I would be amazed if they just told that story straight up and they managed to get into the 30 seconds where they say they told her to abort him because she would have died and she didn't, so she had him. If there's some pregnant chick watching that who's been told by the doctors that she's a high-risk pregnancy, and she watches the Super Bowl with her fucking 17-year-old boyfriend who's a retard.
Drunk?
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the fitness of the father, because that's not where we're going with this analogy. In this analogy, she listens to this ad and she says, oh, Tim Tebow is amazing. I'm going to have Tim Tebow. But she doesn't. She just has death. she dies because the doctors told her, but the commercial told her differently.
Yeah, the commercial didn't have to be honest. The whole thing that really bugs me about this entire commercial is that she had that option and she said no. And that's the most important thing about this whole, you know, we're not, it's not like we're going around Ryan and Jake fucking abortion facility van, you know, like we're not going around saying like abortions are awesome.
What are you against giving poor people access to some kind of abortion mobile?
I am against the idea of mobilized abortions. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, what's
the mobilized version seems
wrong.
It's
a bad name for that. I was actually just talking about, you know, picking people up, taking them to the center, maybe driving them into an enclosed space where there aren't people with signs.
Well, I don't know, but right, your example is way too realistic.
The name
mine was like a Scooby-Doo like van where cartoon versions of us perform abortions around the country.
Man.
So that, but that's not what we want. It's not like we're super fans of it and saying like, yeah, terminate all life. Like, we're not super villains for fuck's sakes.
They have no souls. Just do it.
Do it. I'm evil. I'm an atheist. Kill all babies.
It's funny. It's that whole idea that religious people, and actually this is funny because we watched Flatliners a couple nights ago, which is that movie about near-death experiences.
About stupid people doing retarded shit.
And there's this hilarious knee-jerk reaction that I'm sure religious people believe just because they haven't thought about it, where atheists don't care about death like it's no big deal. And the truth of the matter is, yes, we do. When fucking Kevin Bacon is about to be flatlined. They're like, you should do this, Kevin Bacon. You're the atheist in this movie, and you got nothing to lose. I'm like, he's got everything to lose. If he dies, he goes nowhere. There's no heaven or hell. There's no nothing after. It's like, that's everything, man.
Here's what I found funny, actually, about... this will sound a bit of a tangent, but I didn't want to talk about it. Because, I mean, I don't want to mention Flatliners again, so I got to talk about my opinion of Flatliners now. and last bonus show, actually, we talked about NDEs or near-death experiences.
I love how it has that little snappy thing now. Like, it's its own thing, like UFOs.
Well,
congratulations, near-death experiences. You're now up to that, like, new, hip, modern thing.
It's just new-age shit. Anyways, what I was trying to say was that we have this concept in society that you're alive and then you are dead. I mean, when we were watching the movie, their whole thing was like, you were dead for 5 minutes. Your brain didn't have any activity. And I'm like, listen, dude, it's not like I was all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's nothing happening. Well, death is a process. It's why sometimes it's weird that people come back from it. You know, like a person that's been declared clinically dead wakes up again. Once in a while, it fucking happens because it was a process and the process was interrupted.
It was reversed sometimes.
It was. It's very, very rare. And then sometimes you have maybe even a bullshit religion surrounded this person who managed to pull out that miracle. But the honest truth is that it will happen. A person's, you know, like their heart rate or even their brain waves will go so low that you're just like, there can't possibly be anything happening. My suggestion to you is that if an ant can accomplish all the things that it can with such a tiny, worthless mind, that maybe it doesn't actually take that much fucking juice for things to still happen in your brain. You know what I mean? It doesn't need to run at 100 in order for things to be happening. It's like, it's not like, it's at 99. It's shut down. We don't know what's happening. The characters were always saying like, well, the brain was dead. Therefore, the things that you were experiencing must have been supernatural because your brain wasn't capable of processing them. I'm like, that's not a very smart conclusion. That's the ridiculous conclusion. It's saying like, well, consciousness exists in a gigantic supernatural bubble. Oh, well, that's an explanation. That's going to be really fun to research, huh? Where do we start? Let's see. Let's put ourselves under and try to interpret our weird dreams. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of good science right there. I'm like, why don't we just take a bunch of LSD and talk about our experiences? It's going to be a true science.
Yeah, you won't believe the kind of gods you're going to see there.
Oh, man. Take DMT and you're going to just... you're going to get raped by God. That's what's going to happen. Anyway, that's what I had to say about
Flatliners. Yeah, my whole key thing was just about the idea that people think that we don't care about fucking fetuses being aborted. I'm like, yeah, but we think about it a lot more than just from the point of view of the aborted fetus that has no mind or thoughts or...
It's not like we're happy with it. Remember when we were just talking about like when can we finally get some meat where I can taste the goodness without necessarily killing anything? I look forward to that time where I'm growing meat out of a tube because the honest truth is, it does bug me a bit. It doesn't bug me enough to stop. Yeah, the fact that we kill things to eat them. Mm-hmm. You know, like the people who are like, I'm pro-life.
Me too. Just not to a stupid, irrational degree like you.
I'm like, I really want life to do well. I hate the idea of life being extinguished. That upsets me. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to take a really irrational stance. One stance that just... The thing that really bugs me is that if you put all the focus on just, you know, like a couple week old zygote, and you really forget about the person who's carrying that, I'm like, you're devaluing that person's life. They have one life to live. I think they should have at least the choice of deciding when they're going to bring somebody else in there. That's all. It's not a really complicated thing. And if they make that choice, because even if it is convenient, that disgusts you, you're like, how dare they? And it's not convenient. Well, you know what? You fucking deal with that shit, okay? Deal with it. You eat meat, you fucking monster. You're a monster. We're all slightly monsters. We all... Everything that we do, we consume living things to survive. Vegetables are living things. You consume them. We have. It's the kind of shitty thing about being alive. You kind of have to take the lives of others or other things to exist.
This is ridiculous, because now we're just talking about it being necessary to abort little babies.
No, I'm actually saying that life is harsh enough as it is, but making abortions illegal makes it more harsh. That's the reality of it.
It just makes everybody less free when you can't decide.
You know what? That's the thing that bothered me too, because I said that it's symptomatic, the fact that a country that prides itself on freedom has a huge problem with choice. They want to limit choice. You know, they're like, well, you can't make that decision.
You can't marry this person.
You can't take this drug. You can't. You know, we don't want you to abort your children. I'm like, freedom is choice. That's what it is. All right? You might think it's really, you know, esoteric and shit. It really just does boil down to choice. That's freedom. And when you limit people's choices, guess what happens to your fucking freedom? It is non-existent anymore. So please, live up to those principles, because I actually think they're good principles to live by. But, you know, you're making other countries that didn't invent freedom seem a lot freer, huh? You're not so free anymore. It's like, it's pretty messed up. And it's getting a little bit crazier. You know, they want to take away lots more freedoms. They're like, hey, freedom of privacy? Fuck off.
It's like, we're probably going to have to see your genitals at the airport every time you show up now. We got our genital zapper machines.
We're going
to
listen to every single phone conversation.
All because nobody can run a fucking name database properly. Because of that, everybody's going to have their genitals scanned whenever they go to the... It's kind of cool, though, Total Recall style. I saw, like, the photos. Fat people look the worst, man. They just look like these gigantic neon balls of fucking pus. I would be very unhappy if I was gigantically fat about these machines, because even if it just hides your junk, it is not good for you.
A big, gigantic, glowy blob hid your junk. That's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
Okay, so you want to talk about Anne Frank's diary?
Let's talk about Anne Frank's diary. Now... Before we continue, we did this show about 30 minutes ago, but we fortunately did not press...
I forgot to press the record button.
You guys may remember that this happens every once in a while.
It does. It's just it's a natural truth. It is a statistic fucking eventuality. Eventually, the show will not get recorded, be it by USB interruption, technical difficulty, or Ryan just not clicking on the record. Button.
Record show button.
Yes.
So the thing that you have to accept is that once in a while we may sound less enthusiastic saying something because we literally just said it. I want to put that out there first before we talk about the Anne Frank thing. Because I got you to read the quote that got the book banned, and unfortunately that was a moment that I wish we could get back, because
I'm really happy about how that turned out, because the entire whole thing... Here's the deal about this story is that Anne Frank's diary has been banned from Virginia.
Well, the extended version of the diary.
Yeah, the extended version has been banned from a Virginia school because Anne Frank talks about her vagina in it.
Yes, there's about a paragraph in reference to... the curiosities of a young child that just can't get any answers from adults. So wondering like, oh, how's a baby going to come out of there? How is a man supposed to put things in there?
But yeah, overall, just I'm happy that we lost it because...
You felt like a child molester.
Yeah, you always feel like a child molester. Nowadays, you can't talk about children and sex without it turning into... without feeling like a child molester, because society has basically put that in everybody's head. Children and sex right now is a hysteria. Like, the fact that Anne Frank's diary has been banned from this school. The fact that, look at this, an encyclopedia was banned from another school because
it was a dictionary, actually.
It was a dictionary?
It was a Merriam-Webster dictionary, which contained just a reference to oral sex. What is oral sex? Grab the dictionary, apparently, because, the internet doesn't exist.
Yeah, that was banned from an elementary school, so anything involving the two is right now in our society extremely
but
verboten.
But I don't know if it's necessarily in our society. I think what happens is that the idea of it permeates in everybody's mind, and then there's a few people that are always overreacting. Because the Diary of Anne Frank being banned, the extended version, and the dictionary, that was one parent making a complaint in both cases. And the school district's capitulizing immediately, like, it's gone. Thank you for your input. You are a great parent, and you are helping us and helping our children by pointing out these things. It's. I almost feel like it's Orwellian, where you just tattletale on someone. You're like, you are being a good citizen. Congratulations on having absolutely no spine.
Yeah, but now on one side, I kind of say, well, this is just one fucking retard school. We know how many retard schools there are out there. All these schools, the majority of them are run by fucking idiots. So... When something like this happens,
well, thank you for saying that statement and actually having nothing to back it up. That's great.
Okay.
Do we make blanket statements on the show?
Let's
all
say this.
Most schools are run by idiots. Jesus, man.
Okay, I apologize. I'm just saying that if one idiot school out of God knows how many idiot schools bans a book, is it really that big of a deal? But then I take the flip side of it by saying, okay, if it only took one parent to ban this book, how many schools did this happen at for a various number of books where we just haven't heard about it whatsoever? I'm actually impressed that these stories have gotten out.
I think they've gotten out just basically because the world is getting a little bit smaller. You know, it's a bit more difficult to kind of get away with it. But I see this as a more general trend where it's gotten to the point where people won't even discuss whether or not something should be banned. It's like, oh, somebody doesn't like it? It's gone. It's absolutely gone. And you're like, what the fuck happened to discourse? Okay? Nobody wants a discourse, because the truth of the matter is if you talk about it, that's what, you know, that's when shit comes out. That's when the truth comes out. People don't want that. They're like, I don't want you talking about this issue. Let's just get rid of any books that make this mention, and then we're going to be safe. It's like, let's hide our fucking heads in the sand and hope that it all goes away. Now, I have to wonder, at even today's parents, I'm like, did you guys not remember what even your own childhood was like? Go back. Just go back a few years before the internet or before anything else and think about the types of experiences that you had as a child. Right, maybe finding, what did you say last show? Forest pornography.
Forest pornography.
I don't
yes.
even understand what you mean by that.
You've never had
no.
it. You never went out into like the woods behind your house and found like a tree stump full of pornography.
Maybe that was your dad's stash.
No. It's a fucking common thing. Let me tell you what. Good atheist readers from across the globe could write in and tell stories about their forest pornography. If we ran some kind
of contest.
Or their
desert pornography if they're in a desert land.
Oh, or anything. It's just, you. I mean, even just if you're not by the nature, like, the city's a great place, too. You get up on a roof and you find, like, under a fucking thing, there's, bam, roof porno.
I actually thought that the best porno was always hidden in someone's house. You just had to find their own stash, like, behind a painting or, you know, sort of like the mysteriously labeled...
all kids had their porno hiding spot. Mine was in my Dragonlance box set.
Nice.
Rules. And then I also kept it in like a vent area. But anyways, the key thing about roof porn is it's just nowadays if somebody finds roof porn, the guy who left the porn there is liable to go to jail because everybody just loses their fucking mind about everything, man.
We almost forget, like, did these parents forget, like, how old they were when they really started to want to experiment with sex? I know that's like, it seems crazy.
Well, not even experiment with sex. Back in grade three,
just
I remember.
Because
when, this is why I'm happy that the last show got deleted, because you made me read the banned passage about Anne Frank's vagina. Yeah, I didn't feel like a gigantic pervert for it. I just felt wrong for giggling at a fucking dead girl's diary entry about her talking about her fucking vagina. So
people die all the time.
But it reminded me of grade three. The first time they give you sex ed is like in grade three. Or it used to be when I was a fucking kid. And I was just, you know, it was useless. They were trying to teach, oh, the boy puts the penis in the girl's vagina. And we're just giggling our asses off. And that's what I was doing, reading Anne Frank's diary where she's talking about her vagina. I just found it fucking...
So you know what that means? You have the maturity of a small child.
I do.
That's the problem. Something wrong with your brain.
It just brings me back to that grade three.
Does that make you a child molester? You have the brain of a child? Huh?
I don't know. But all parents nowadays, if they catch you looking at their kid, just like at the grocery store, you look down at a kid, parent catches you, they'll look at you like you're a child molester.
Maybe you have a look about you. If you wear that fucking stinking hat that you're wearing right now, and with your unshaven beard looking like you're homeless, don't look at kids, dude. I think it's actually important for kids to read that.
I agree.
That's the biggest thing I'm concerned about.
I agree 100% that it should be in the book. I'm happy that this version of the radio show does not have me reading it.
Because
here's the thing. You made me laugh at a Holocaust fucking victims.
You do that all the time. You're evil. You know, we have a dark sense of humor, man.
I know,
we cannot deny the fact that we have a dark sense of humor.
I know, but Anne Frank is one of those things that you kind of put up there, like where it's like, don't make too much fun of Anne Frank.
Oh, come on, man. John Safran did a whole thing where he was making out with a girl in Anne Frank's basement.
Yeah, that was pretty wrong. So, anyways.
It was funny.
I don't want to make fun of her vagina. I find it kind of fucked up. Like, her father took out a bunch of stuff from the diary because he was like, and probably wouldn't want that in there. And then the extended one put it back in. So note that if you're like, what kind of things might she not have wanted? It's like the thing where she talks about her vagina.
I don't know if that's true, because why are we making this assumption? It doesn't even matter anymore. She's dead. What's more important, I think, for us is to kind of see what she went through.
Mm.
And I think that that's what's important for, like, you know, say a little girl reading this diary as a child. You need to be exposed to that. I think that we're just, in our society, we are going absolutely apeshit. We have this fear that as soon as you mention the word sex and there's a kid in the room, like, you have to head for the hills because you're about to be arrested by the police. We have this, you know, strong paranoia about it. And I'm saying we have to cool those jets. We have to cool those fucking jets. Kids are like miniature adults that haven't finished quite developing, but they're still going to be adults eventually. I almost wonder if some parents cannot get rid of the, like, get accustomed to the idea that children don't stay children. You know, that there it's a gradation. So sometimes that gradation is going to make us feel, you know, really uncomfortable. But we have to try to not be crazy. This is what I'm asking people. Like, stop being crazy. I know that you're like a pregnant woman's brain will shrink during pregnancy.
What?
Really? Yeah, it happens during the last trimester. Their brains shrink a little.
That's hardcore.
It's actually why they say that women who are in their late stages will get really forgetful or want to eat weird things. But then eventually sort of like their brain stops being so small and it gets back to normal.
It's funny. That sounds like practically like one of those Victorian medical facts that you hear. The brain gets 20% smaller, rendering the woman irritable and crazy.
Here's the crazy thing. When it actually gets back to its regular size, it now has all of these new neural pathways that make you much more mothering. So your brain is going to change when you have a kid. So dear breeders, I realize that your brain changed when that happened, but the rest of us non-breeders, we got to say you're acting kind of nuts here, huh? You're acting really fucking crazy. And if you can't be honest with your kids about things, if you try to coddle them, if you delineate what they can learn and what they can't learn, and they go out there and learn for themselves, why are they going to trust or listen to you about anything else? You're trying to control what they're going to learn, and you cannot do that. The wider world is out there for these kids to discover, and you just have to fucking live with it. Be at least honest with them. Banning dictionaries? banning the extended version of Anne Frank? What the fuck, people? Calm the hell down, all right? Calm the hell down. Kids are going to, like, they're going to find that shit out one way or another. And I think it's much better in a dictionary than it is at assplay.net or .squirt or whatever. You might want to actually try to be preemptive about that stuff, you know? I'm just saying.
Yeah, have that talk with them right around the time where they really don't want you to.
Exactly. If you know that if they don't want you to have that talk, it's probably time to have that talk. Because if they're like, huh, what's that? It might be too early. It might be a little too early. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? With that, we'll wrap up the show. I'd like to remind all of you guys that if you're a fan of the show, then we recommend that you become a patron. It's $20 a year. You get access to all our bonus shows. And since we keep producing bonus shows every week, well, guess what? You get access to that catalog. So, like, every week, it literally gets cheaper for you to get more. Act now, though. We need your money now. Not later, but now.
Papa's got a new car to buy.
Papa's got a Magritte. Okay, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.